As I've already mentioned many times, our theme for today is surviving in a crisis. Over the last 4 years, I've taken my summer holidays, for three of them, sailing around the west coast of Scotland in an 85-foot converted fishing trawler. It's more comfortable than it sounds. One day, on the first year we were sailing up the coast when we got stuck in a false five sea, and the boat started rocking and pitching and backing, and there was a false six coming in fast behind it. So our skipper decided to run for the nearest lock. So we steamed off. We weren't too worried. The skipper seemed quite confident and that. But I went down to my cabin. That was a mistake, because I was down in the steerage class. That means it was down low. And I walked into my cabin, looked across at the porthole, and it was underwater. The sea had got so up, it was chucking about, that I started to get a bit panicky then. We were in a crisis, I thought. But the skipper said, "No, don't worry." He said, "I'm not worried about my boat." He said, "My boat is strong enough to take seas a lot stronger than this." He said, "I'm worried about you," he said, "whether you can take it." You see, we were really didn't realise it, but we were safe and secure in this crisis in a boat that was made to take seas a lot harder. Our Old Testament reading gives, doesn't it, a dramatic picture of the power of the sea and the elements and how small and helpless man really is. A couple of years later, we were sailing up the west coast again, and the sea was quite choppy and the boat was pitching, and we were told it was the wrong sort of sea. Apparently the waves were wrong, you know, not leaves on the line or anything. The waves were the wrong distance apart, apparently. The boat was hitting them instead of riding over them, we were told, but you have to take their word for that. But it was quite a rough sea. And I was up in the wheelhouse talking to the skipper, and he said, "Have a look up there." And there was a line you could see right across the sea, and beyond that it was flat. Flat as a pancake. He said, "That's where it's raining." We thought, yeah, you know, okay, that's where it's raining. But when we got there, sure enough, it was raining. So we said, "Well, how did that happen?" He said, "The sea is rough and smooth. It's smooth because the rain is coming there." We said, "Well, why is it smooth?" He said, "Well," and I've got to take his word for that, "a meter cube of rain weighs a ton. So when you're walking out in the rain and it's raining on your head, you're having a ton of rain every meter coming on your head." And he said, "The weight of the rain flattens the sea and it's nice and smooth." "Oh," he said, "and by the way, if you look up there," he said, "in those mountains," he said, "there is a waterfall there that when the sea blows from the southwest, the water turns back up on itself and goes back up the waterfall." And he said, "All that's below it, the rock below, which should be the water coming down, is bone dry." And I thought, boy, what a wonderful, wonderful God and powerful God we have. Even the winds and the waves obey him. One of the hymns recommended for today, which I didn't pick, is "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." The last two lines of the first three verses goes, "O hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea." What are we saying when we sing those last two lines of the hymn? That we have a God that is bigger and broader and stronger. We have a God that made the universe. We have a God that keeps it in place. We have a God that was there before time was. He was the one that made the universe and holds it in place today. What is our theme for today? Surviving in a crisis? He is the one that hears our cries for help and acts on them. In the Old Testament, we have many examples, don't we, of God being alongside man. We read that God walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden. How he came and dwelt amongst the children of Israel in the tabernacle as they travelled through the desert. And there's many more stories and cases that we can talk of Jesus and God, of God especially in the Old Testament, coming alongside man. Boy, I don't know about you, but I can think of no one I would sooner have at my side in a crisis than God himself. What is our theme for today? Surviving in a crisis. Let's now look at our New Testament reading from Mark chapter 4. It shows us how that Jesus has power over creation itself. Again, it has a nautical theme. It takes place in a small boat, fishing boat, on the Sea of Galilee. Now, it says in your Bible a lake, which gives the impression that it wasn't very big, but it's called a sea because it was about, I believe, 14 miles long. I've never seen it, never been there, but it's not just a little lake or a pond. It's a big sea. Jesus and his disciples decided to go out to cross it in a small fishing boat. We row, it was evening time, don't we? And his disciples with other fishing boats were crossing the sea. We read when a strong or furious storm came up and the waves were breaking over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. I'm told, or I've read, that the geological position of it makes it quite common for these storms to suddenly crop up. So it was nothing new for the disciples to be called out in a storm. So it must have been something really special for them to be so concerned. The disciples, before they followed Jesus, what were they? Most of them were fishermen. So they were used to fishing and being out on the Sea of Galilee. They were used to being in these storms. They knew how to handle a boat. They knew how to look after themselves in a crisis. But this one was too big a crisis for them to handle themselves, wasn't it? They probably tried bailing out. They probably tried rowing harder, but they realised that they couldn't manage it for themselves. And what did they do? They turned to Jesus and asked him to take charge of the situation. They took the best action they could. They woke Jesus from his deep sleep. Now that's something. How could Jesus sleep in a deep sleep when there's this storm going on all around them? Because Jesus, who he was, being the Son of God, he knew that there was no crisis. He was in a deep sleep, and they woke him. They handed the problem, their crisis, over to Jesus. They asked him to take control. How often do we, in our lives, try and sort the thing out for ourselves first? We try and answer it, to sort it out. And in the last resort, we turn to Jesus and hand the problem over him. What did the disciples say to him when they woke him? Master, don't you care if we drowned? Don't we care if we drowned? Have we ever said something like that to Jesus? Don't you care if we drowned? A personal note, a few years ago, my wife had a serious major operation. And we saw the specialist at 10 o'clock in the morning, and the operation didn't take place until 9:30 at night. And I was walking away from the operating theatre as my wife was taking in, thinking, do you care, God? Do you care? She's been all this time and now she's going to have this major operation. Do you care? When a voice suddenly came to me, it wasn't a voice you could hear, but it was a thought that came in my head, and it just said the psalm, be still and know that I'm in control. Be still and know that I am God. And that completely changed my thinking that night. And to add to the miracle of it, as I walked into the ward she was in, there was only two beds there. It was such a specialist ward. And there was a nurse, I'd never seen her before, and she was making the bed. And she turned to me and she said, Mr. Stein, she said, do you mind if I pray for you and your wife? She was a Christian lady. She'd read our notes and seen that we'd put down that we weren't C of V, we'd put down something else. And she realised, and she said, do you mind if, I've never seen that nurse since, I've never seen her since after that. But she was there just at that time when I needed reassurance. So we often think that God doesn't care. God isn't interested. But he does. Master, don't you care if we drown? How did Jesus answer their question? Well, by beginning with Moses and all the prophets, by explaining to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself, like he did in Luke 24:27 to those men on the Emmaus road. Or did he tell them a parable in Matthew 13:34? We read this, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Did he? Is that what he did? No, we read it, didn't he? No, he certainly didn't. Now was not the time for talking. Now was the time for action. What did Jesus do? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the winds died down. And it was, and it says in my Bible, yours it says great, mine it says completely calm. There was a complete stillness, a complete change. He said to the waves as well, be still. And they were still. There was this complete or great calm. Not just calm, but complete calm. You see, when Jesus takes control of our crisis, he not only removes it, he obliterates it. When Jesus deals with something, he just doesn't mess about. He deals with it thoroughly. In this case, what happened? It happened immediately, didn't it? Straight away, the wind stopped. The waves stopped. It was a complete or a great calm. But sometimes it may take time for the solution to the crisis to be put in place. I was talking to a couple just now about a mutual friend, a Metcalf Collier, and he said to me years ago he'd been praying for somebody to become a Christian for 32 years. I think I would have given up long before, but he prayed. You see, God gave us all a free will. So God had to get things into place. He had to deal with the crises in that young man or that man's life. Eventually, the man gave his heart to Jesus. But it took 32 years. That isn't making God's power or Jesus' power any less in a crisis. But man has a will, so man can do his own thing. You see, the trouble with today is that we live in an age when we expect everything to happen immediately. but in creation sometimes it doesn't. Now that the crisis has been averted, it's time to talk. And Jesus doesn't pull his punches, does he? What does he say in verse 40? Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith? The disciples have been with Jesus for about 3 years, listening to his teachings and witnessing his power to heal and to cast out demons. Yet still, when the crisis came, their faith failed them. They had doubts. I'm not preaching because I put myself in that verse very much. When the crisis came in my life, I turned round to God and I said, well, God, if that's what you're doing to my wife, I don't want to know you. And I thank the Lord it didn't last very long before I realised that without him, the crisis would only get bigger. But we do, don't we? Our faith can fail us. And then Jesus asked them, have you no faith? I wonder, how long have you been with Jesus and listening to his teachings and seen his power at work? And when you're facing a crisis in your life, will Jesus say to you, have you no faith? You see, it's easy to be a follower of Jesus when the sun is shining and everything in the garden is lovely. But when we are facing a crisis, where do we look for the answer? I remember being told long ago that if I had a problem, take it to the Lord in prayer and place it at the foot of the cross and leave it there. But the trouble is, we all tend to pick it up again, don't we? And take it back on and try and deal with it ourselves, our crises. We've got to learn to leave it with Jesus and he will deal with it. What's the theme for today? Surviving in a crisis. On a personal note, have you ever thought that Jesus may take you out of your comfort zone and cause a crisis in your life? What a shock. Jesus may give us, and God may give us, a crisis to deal with. And surely not. Everything should be running lovely and smooth, shouldn't it, when we give our lives to Jesus? But Jesus can take us out of our comfort zone to give us a crisis. Why? So that his glory will be done. I'm reminded of another nautical story in the Bible. You know it well, don't you? The story of Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and warn the people to change their ways. But Jonah didn't want to. So what did he do? He ran the other way and took a ship in the opposite direction. And if you know the story, there was a great storm again. And Jonah had a crisis on his hands. He was in a crisis situation. What happened to him? Well, we know, don't we? The crew threw him overboard. That was the start of his real problems. And then a big fish swallowed him. We're not told whether it was a whale or not, but it was a big fish. And I've read of a whaler that was swallowed by a whale, and another whaling ship caught him some years ago, and after 3 days the whale was opened up, and sure enough the man was still in there alive. So it's not a far-fetched story. This fish caught him. And what happened to Jonah in his crisis? He was right back where he started from. He was back at Nineveh, where he didn't want to go in the first place. But you see, God wanted him to. So God put them crises in his way so that he would finish up back at Nineveh. I said earlier that in a crisis, I can think of nobody I would sooner have alongside me than God. That's the God of the Old Testament. that through the coming of Jesus and his death and his resurrection, the God of the New Testament is no longer alongside us. In a crisis, he's within us through his Holy Spirit. And lastly, to finish with, what was our theme for today? Surviving in a crisis. Our Lord is there for us. He can take control of all our problems in our life. So when we're in a crisis, let's take them to our Lord.